أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبو القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم brothers. As always, it's an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to be amongst you and participate in programs, especially commemorating the Shahadat and the martyrdom of the grandson of Rasulullah, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And these are nights where we need to take advantage of these nights. And inshallah, all of the brothers here coming to either the second or some of them third program that they've been tonight, inshallah, we can benefit from these nights and try to gain a little spiritual perspective. Now, over these three nights, I'm going to be looking at different aspects of spirituality. Tonight, we're going to concentrate on how we're all moving towards Allah. And you'll see what I mean by that towards the end of this speech, in the middle. So, basically, every single human being is on a path towards Allah, whether they want to be on that path or not. Whether they're working and they're struggling and they're striving to be in good favor when they meet Allah, or they're completely oblivious. Everyone is moving in that direction. Right now, for those who desire to meet Allah in a good state, Allah gives us tools to work with. And two tools that we're going to concentrate on today are role models and multiplying rewards for us. Now, the role models are easy, right? There's a verse of Quran, لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, right? Verily, in the Prophet of Allah, there's a good role model for you. And there's a second part of that verse which I won't get to right now. This, we're going to take Imam Hussein alayhi salam to be our role model. Since it's Muharram, we're going to use him. The second thing with multiplying rewards is this, that there's certain actions that we can perform that seem small to us, they seem easy to us, right? One example would be reading Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad, right? It'll take us 10 seconds, 15 seconds to recite this surah. But you get immense rewards for reciting. Allah says that He'll give you the rewards of reciting one-third of the Qur'an for just reciting that surah. You recite that surah three times, you have the rewards for reciting the entire Qur'an. Right? So there's certain actions in this world that Allah has blessed us with, that Allah gives us, multiplies the rewards so we can catapult ourselves towards Him. We need to be aware of those. Now, one of these shortcuts, or one of these actions which are immensely multiplied, is sharing in the grief of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It is mourning for the Imam, right? We can benefit from the sacrifice that Imam Hussein made. We could share in the benefits just by remembering it, opening our heart to it, and allowing us to shed tears for the tragedies that happened. This will provide immense benefit to us. Now, it'll only provide benefit, but the benefits will be, correct, and they'll reach the final destination. We'll be able to achieve our goals if they're coupled with taqwa. So if we emulate Imam Hussein in our life, right, we listen to his teachings, we try to emulate him in conduct, which means to have taqwa, we get that part down, that's our foundation, and then we share in the grief as well, that at that moment, that's when we'll be catapulted forward. That's when we'll be able to, inshallah, reach our goals of meeting Allah. Now, that as a brief introduction, I want to take a step back and see what does it mean that we're all moving towards Allah. Right? So Allah has given us physical life. And this might get a little deep for us, but I figured all of you have come at this time of the night, so hopefully you're ready to hear some of the more detailed and more esoteric aspects of the religion, at least at night. And other speeches might be more motivational, but this one I want to really get into the depths of the matter. So Allah gives us life, physical life. And this physical life we can elevate. He's given us the opportunity to elevate ourselves, right? Through something that's called tashkik al-wujud, or the gradation of existence. So we can actually take the existence that we have and move it up. Moving it up means increasing spiritual station. Right? He gives us this opportunity. Now, this will happen regardless if we want it to or not, at death. So what happens at death? Right? At death, the curtains between us and reality are lifted. Right? When we die, those curtains are lifted and we have 100% faith at that moment. Right? There's no doubt anymore there. We have yaqeen. Right? Whether we were good in this world or not, whether we prayed and fasted and struggled to better ourselves in this world, or we sinned all day and we could care less about religion. At that moment, when the curtains are lifted, there's no doubt anymore. Right? The problem is, though, if we haven't prepared ourselves for that moment, what will happen is it'll be painful. It'll be chastisement. It'll be torture. Right? We'll be full of regret that we didn't live our life the way we should have. And Allah will punish us, right? And His punishment will be severe. There's a verse of Quran that says this: "Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka qadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi." O mankind, you're laboring towards your Lord laboriously, and you will encounter Him, whether you want to or not. It will happen, right? Now, this encountering, this lifting of the curtains, if we want it to be pleasurable, if we want the outcome to be what we desire of this meeting, we have to prepare ourselves now. Right? We can't wait till then and hope for the best. We have to seriously strive now to make sure at that time we're prepared. Right? We have to increase the capacity of our hearts to be able to accept the pleasure of meeting the Lord, if that makes sense. Now, this can happen after death. We can prepare ourselves so that when we die, inshallah, we're in a good state. But even better, we could reach that state while we're alive. So these curtains could be lifted before death, right? So, what's it called? There's a verse of Quran. Well, listen to this: يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنَ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They know just the outward aspect of the life of the world, but they're oblivious of the akhirah. Right? Now, the akhirah is a very interesting word, akhirah, because it has two meanings. One is the common meaning that everyone knows: the life after death. When we die, we go to Barzakh, we have the Day of Judgment, then we go to heaven or hell. All of that is the Akhirah. Right? That's clear. But in Irfan, the Akhirah takes on a different meaning. Okay? So the Akhirah is that lifting of the veils. And that can happen when you're alive or you're dead. There's some urufa which will define the Akhirah as anything that takes you closer to Allah is the Akhirah. And anything that takes you farther away from Him or doesn't make you move at all, that's the dunya. Right? So in Irfan, the word takes on a different meaning. Now, unfortunately, there's been a lot of misinterpretations of this. And that happens when you have speakers who haven't studied enough to get a comprehensive outlook on religion. So they hear things like this, and then they come up with their own interpretations of what it means, right? So I've seen sometimes that they say heaven and hell are on earth right now. Right? They get that from this, but it's a misunderstanding. Why? Because what they mean is that the akhira runs parallel with the dunya. And that's what we're saying here. When you take akhira to mean those curtains, and when they're lifted, you reach the akhira, meaning you meet Allah, right? That can happen now. You can live your life in such a way where you gain in spirituality, the curtains are lifted, you're still alive, and you meet Allah. You've reached the akhira before death. Right? So these two lives, the dunya and the akhira, are running parallel to each other. But what they did is they took the definition of akhira, meaning heaven and hell, and then they inserted it into this concept. Right? So they took the theological meaning and tried to explain it through the irfani, what's it called, concept. And that doesn't make sense. Right? Because heaven and hell are not here on earth right now. Right? That's different. Heaven and hell will happen after the Day of Judgment. Right? We haven't reached the Day of Judgment yet. So it hasn't happened yet. It's not here. Okay? Now, this curtain is also important. Because there's another verse of Quran which talks about this curtain being ours. Right? Allah says, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي قَفْلَةٍ مِنْ هَذَا فَكَشَّفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. You were certainly oblivious of this. We have removed your veil, right? Your veil. This curtain, this veil is yours. And so your sight is acute this day. Because once that veil is lifted, you see everything perfectly. There's no more doubt. You have 100% yaqeen. But this curtain is yours, meaning you place it there. Your actions are what places that curtain in between you and Allah. Your actions are what places this curtain in between you and meeting Allah in this life. And you're in control of when it's removed. Your actions can remove it. Right? Now, how do we do that? Two things, which we started with. We got to take the Imams and the Prophet as role models. We have to emulate their lives. We have to learn taqwa from them. Right? Then we also have to take advantage of these actions which are multiplied for us, where the rewards are multiplied. If we do both, then inshallah we could get somewhere. Right? But if we don't concentrate on those actions, and we only look at ourselves, right? Let's take a look at ourselves. Let's take a serious look. We pray, right? Inshallah, all of us pray 5 times a day, inshallah. Let's assume that. And that might be a big assumption, but let's at least assume that. Now, these prayers that we're praying, right? I'm speaking for myself, and I'm sure a lot of the brothers are the same. They're done carelessly. We rush through them. Right? We don't have that presence of heart that Hajj Ibrahim is trying to teach us on Tuesdays. We don't have that. We're just doing the outer shell of prayers. Right? Then we fast in the month of Ramadan, maybe sometimes Mustahab fast as well. And as we're fasting, we sin. During the day, when we're refraining from eating and drinking, we're still sinning. We might sin with our mouths. We might listen to things we shouldn't listen to. A pretty girl walks by, we'll look at her, and then we'll try to play it off like, oh, well, maybe I'll try to marry her someday or something. You try to find a thick loophole or something. But look, is this fasting real? Like, this worship, is this going to get us to our final destination? If you were to judge yourself, would you say that you've reached where you're supposed to? Think about that. Now, let's put it into perspective. Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali worshipped second to the Prophet, but no one else could touch him. Right? I know Ihik in the month of Ramadan, They did the 100 rakat prayers in congregation, right? For me, it was too much for me to do. I couldn't do that. I know some brothers did, whoever did, mashallah, good on you. But for me, that was difficult. Imam Ali alayhi salam would pray 1,000 rakats a night. Every night. 1,000. That's a lot. Right? With sincerity, with presence of heart, not rushing through them. His worship was amazing. And what does he say? He says, alas, the provisions are little and the journey is long. Meaning what? Meaning the journey to Allah, the distance between me and Allah is great. And the provision for my righteous deeds that I've attained is just a little, not much at all. If that's Imam Ali, where are we? If that's what Imam Ali is saying, what do we have? Look at our prayers. Look at our fasts. Look at what we do. Nothing. Right? And even worse than that, we take pride in our weak, worthless worship. We say, look at me. I pray 5 times a day. This Muslim over here, he doesn't even wake up for Fajr. He doesn't. He'll miss 3 prayers a day. He barely prays at all. Right? I'm better than him. I wake up for Salatul Layl every now and then. Right? MashaAllah. I'm better than everyone else. Right? We take pride in our worship. We think because we're doing the bare minimums here. Right? None of us, at least myself, I don't know, maybe some of you are hidden in your true urufa in secret. Allah knows, the ODR are hidden, maybe. But those of us who aren't, right? Who are we pretending? The little bit of worship we do doesn't set us apart from anyone else. We're not better than anyone else, come on. But some of us have that pride. And that pride destroys whatever small rewards we have from the worship we do. This pride destroys it. So we're back to zero. And so, what do we have? What we have is that taqwa that we try to keep, and then these actions that are multiplied. Right? If we're sincere, we should talk to Allah. We should say, oh Allah, I'm doing what I can. I know I can be better, I know I can do more, but really I'm trying my best. And we have to try our best. We have to try our best. That's what Allah wants. And we can tell Him, I'm trying. I'm trying. I know it's not enough. Have mercy on me. Please accept the little that I do. And please help me to increase. Please help me to take a step forward. Please help me to do more. Right? Ask Him and He'll answer you. He'll help you. And then take advantage of those deeds that are multiplied. One of those deeds is crying for Abi Abdullah Hussein Raisi. One of those deeds is this. There's traditions that say when you cry for Imam Hussein, all of your sins are forgiven. Right? If you cry for Imam Hussein, you're guaranteed paradise. Of course, depending on what you do afterwards. You cry for Imam Hussein, it counts for X amount of hajjs, X amount of this, X amount of that. Multiply the reward. Think about that. And crying is not difficult. Crying isn't something that's hard. When the brother gets up here and recites his majlis, it'll be harder not to cry than to cry. Right? Sincerely, ask Allah these tears that you've given so much rewards to. Help me through these tears for Imam Hussein to get closer to you. Help me to reach that spot, that goal that I have where these curtains can be lifted and I can meet you. It's possible, brothers. In this world, from this country, it's possible. You have to strive. You have to use the tools that Allah has given us, the opportunities and the tawfiq that Allah has given us. If we do that, we can be successful. Now please, open your hearts up. Prepare your hearts to cry and lament and mourn and grieve for the grandson of Rasulullah Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And please recite three loud salawats for the brother Hussein Jaffer to come up. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.